All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
G'day guys, Travis here from Fitness Education Online, and welcome to the Fitness Education Online podcast. Today, we've got our part two of my chat with Guy Leach. Part one, we spoke about what it takes to become a world champion, his journey from a swim star prodigy through to Ironman Gold and the Coolangatta Gold, and then parlaying that success into business ventures for 30 years past his retirement. But today we're going to be chatting in the part two about his journey with Heart 180, his company which aims to supply defibrillators for all Australians within 180 seconds. We're going to talk about why he's so passionate about this topic, and then we're going to talk about some of the stats and some of the scary figures about why it's important for defibrillators, for us fitness professionals, why we should be getting them into our businesses, whether you're a gym, whether you're a boot camp operator. Hope you enjoy the chat today. I love chatting with Guy, and it was absolute pleasure. All right, mate, what we'll do is let's transition into what you're doing now. Like I mentioned at the beginning, you know, you've got a hell of a story, and what we've just covered is probably a very small portion of the story, because what you're doing now is such a powerful thing, and some of the stories I've heard from you are so, they're so important and, you know, heart-wrenching and just lack of a better word, they're powerful stories. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit on the defibrillators and how did you land into this space of going, no, this is what I'm going to focus on, because it's sort of like that ethical investing, what you're doing essentially, right? You're doing something that's doing well financially, but it's also doing well, really well socially. And, you know, it's, so tell us a little bit about how this came about.
So, for anyone that's listening to this now and will listen to this down the track, it'll strike a chord in our industry. Mm. So those sessions that I talked about on the water that I started doing, I started those nearly 20 years ago. So that was back when I'm like, well, let's get out of bed and work out a way, get out of bed. And if you and 20 others are turning up and paying me to go training, I will get out of bed in the dark when it's raining because I have to be there. But fast forward to 5 years ago, and on a given morning, like any other morning when I was taking these sessions, there were 25 blokes on this morning, all guys that turned up, and we were 50 minutes into an hour session out on the harbour at Manly, and one of the boys who would have been in my top five best mates doing the session, he said to one of the other guys as we're paddling into a harbour beach to do the last set of stomach work before we finish the session off, he said, tell Leachy, I'm not feeling great, I'm going to paddle in and I'll see you at breakfast. So we got to the beach, started doing the sit-ups, and the other guy said, oh, Leachy, Chucky said he's gone in, he'll see us at breakfast. Because I would always say, listen, you can't leave the session unless you tell us, because, mate, I need to count numbers. And
you're out on the water, right? There's obviously...
You're in a gym and you're like, well, he's on the ground.
But he's like, hiding under the bench press.
Yeah, you'd be hiding on the bottom of the ocean if you pass out. So anyway, so we finished the stomach work, paddle back in, and we all have been on the Manly Ferry at some stage. So we would paddle in sort of just next to where the ferries are there on the sand, and cars are parked up on the road. And we put the skis back on, get chains in, go and have a coffee and catch up. But we were paddling in. And one of the boys has said, is that someone collapsed up on the grass? And I'm like, I can't tell. And then another guy says, I think someone's doing CPR on someone. I'm like, shit. And we get about 20 yards from the shore. And one of the other boys said, it's not Chucky, is it, on the ground? And I'm like, no. Anyway, because it looked like he had shoes on, but they were rubber booties that he was wearing. And it was him. And my heart dropped. And I was like, shit, that could be Chucky. And there was a guy. So I jumped off the ski, bolted up the sand, up the stairs, get to the guy, and it's my mate's on the ground, dead. And I said to the guy, have you rung Triple O? He said, yes. I said, how long have you been doing CPR for? And he's still pumping. He said, 2 minutes, I think. I said, did you see him drop? He said, no. So then I'm like, so instantly I'm going, Ambo's coming. This guy's pumping his chest. I'm looking at my mate. He looks dead. And so if you've ever seen someone who's unconscious, not breathing, you then know what a dead body looks like, because the colour changes in their face and it's really heavy. And so I'm thinking he left at 22, 23 past 7. We're finishing 7:30. It's now 7:30. He's had a 5-minute start.
How long has he been here? I've been
pumping for 2 minutes. He may have been laying there for 3 minutes without anyone knowing. So I'm just like, dude. And I'm like, I said to him, mate, you're tired. I can take over. He said, can you? And I took over and started pumping the chest. So when you're doing this stuff, time goes slow. And you're hearing, for me, you're listening for the sound of the ambulance, having done it a few times before. But the worst part is when you're doing it, if you know the person. Because you got.
So this wasn't the first time you've actually done CPR on someone?
No. Yeah, wow. But the other people have been random. I'm not trying to be cold, but when you don't know the person,
less investment.
You're not emotionally attached to them from the point of view of them being your family, your friends, or whatever.
Yeah, wow.
This guy's like, he's like my older brother on the ground, you know? And so I'm pumping, going, fuck, come on, mate. And like 25 of the boys are around, all like, you know, trying to do their best. And I've got someone on a 30-second timer. I've got a bloke on the chest, on the mouth doing two breaths. And so we're working as a team, and I'm just praying he comes back. Well, I hear the ambulance come. They turn up. I still got no sign of life at all. And, you know, they take over, right? And they put him into the ambo. That's when the defib came out. They shocked him. They pumped him with adrenaline that they do. And, look, the short of it was that he didn't make it. And so I find out after the fact, and you got to remember, my surf club days in the 90s, there were no defibs down surf clubs like there are now. I mean, they weren't around. They were in hospitals, and we saw them on movies on television.
Yeah.
And so I get told after the fact. So I'm going through the...
They weren't around as portable things. Like, they were those, you know, like
yeah. Not,
it was those stand clear, you know, it wasn't the portable things we've got now.
Yeah, you heard about it in the 80s when Kerry Packer dropped, got brought back by one that was the only one in an ambo. So he was like just blessed, and he went dollar for dollar to put him into ambos. So they weren't even influences properly. So anyway, I talked to the cardiologist like 2 days later when he's pronounced dead, my mate. And he said, listen, you did a great job. We can tell from the data that every compression you did was spot on. He said, but the ambos took 12 minutes to turn up. Look, you know, it just, you don't get someone back normally from a shock from a defib at the 12-minute mark. You've got more than a 70% chance of getting someone back if you get the pads on them in the first 3 minutes around there. But every minute after 3 minutes, there's 10% less chance of reigniting the heart and starting it. And I'm like, shit. And I'm like, he said, yeah, look, don't feel bad because you don't know this stuff. And he said, mate, he had no chance. It was an electrical issue of the heart. He said, people don't realise it's the biggest killer in the country. It kills 100 Aussies a day, and that includes fit people, and a kid under the age of 10 dies today from an electrical issue of the heart. And he said, if we had a defib there, we'd save more than 70% of them. He said, people don't know this. So that's what I got taken after the fact. So I'm like, Jesus. Yeah.
And just to interrupt your flow, sorry to interrupt your flow there, and that we touched base a few weeks ago, and that was part of the reason I was like, oh, you know what? I have to reach out to Leachy now, because what was it last week? We had that the Danish soccer player who was, I think he was under 30. And I know we've seen this story. I'm not a big soccer fan, but you've seen the story over and over again of soccer players. But you've got the Danish soccer player. You know, you're looking for like a Scandinavian country. They're not, they're pretty, you know, there's no financial issues in Scandinavia. They're not from Porgen, you know, anything like that. They just drops in the middle of the game and you know, CPR, middle of the field. And then I remember I was reading the report going, when he survived, I was going, he must have been put on a defib. He must have been put on. And I was trying, and it was nothing. They said nothing, said nothing. And eventually I found one report that said they got him on the defib and he survived. And I was like,
So just a bit of backstory on that. So if you're playing the Euro Cup as a soccer player, right, at that level, well, you're in the 0.1% fitness levels in the world, right?
Let's 1% of the 1%.
Let's take that. Yeah. Let's take, like, you're at the pointy end, mate, of like, because they run all day, they sprint, like, they're just fit as. Second thing is, mate, he's young in the prime of his life, right? And at that professional level, mate, it's like if something was going to go wrong, surely the medical staff prior to that would have some tweaking that there's something wrong.
And they're so monitored nowadays with their different.
They've got heart rate monitors on and it, mate, everything, because there's massive money, more money in soccer than any other sport. So they've got the latest technology in. So it got through all of those nets as well. Then like the main part of this is the reason why he lived was because at a Euro soccer match, there is like 5 defibs on the side of the field. There is the best medical people there. And as soon as he dropped, mate, they run on and they do what they do. And because of it's a time issue with electrical issues with the heart, he had the best chance of surviving. And as I said before, mate, it's over 70% chance if you get the defib on someone in the first 3 minutes if their heart stops. But at the level where someone knows what they're doing, pumping the chest and know the defib intimately, up to 90% chance of surviving. So he had a little chance of dying. So what we saw and what you saw was firsthand what people experience when someone drops in a gym and the PT's got to come over, or out in a park at a soccer game, or an over 35 game on the weekend here. That's what you see. Someone's lifeless, they're grey in the face, and you know, and they got him back. So it was a good story. Yeah.
So I mean, that's what made me reach out and hook up today's chat and make sure we got it done, because it was just, I was like, we've got to get this done because it's such an important cause. Talking about this, you've got this intimate history, you've got this intimate story, you know the statistics. Let's, you know, that's the statistics of, you know, using a defib, 70 to 90% better or chance of survival,
79%. 6% survival rate if you're in triple O and wait for the ambo and don't have a defib.
Dear.
With a sudden car crash. Or you got one and, mate, you feel like you're actually giving this person the best chance. Psychologically, for yourself, you're like, mate, I can deal with this because of it. And you're giving them like the chance of living as opposed to a 6% chance win the ambos because of time. Yeah.
So now you're supplying defibs all around the place for lots of people, but we're obviously from the fitness side of things, that's your history as well. I know you're supplying elsewhere. Talk to us about some of the numbers from the fitness side of things. You know, like obviously for you, that's happened. I find it pretty crazy that you've performed CPR more than once.
Yeah. Because I was in the surf club seat down the beach.
Yeah, I guess, but yeah.
Dragging them out of the surf.
That makes more sense, I suppose. That's yeah. True. But yeah. let's focus on the fitness side of things, right? Like, what are the numbers in and around gyms or in and around fitness? And what are some of this data?
Yeah. So, look, to go back, I literally, you know, had no choice but to do this, because all the boys who were there that day, when you witness someone going through this and you find out after the fact what happens, you're like, mate, get one for me. I'll have it at home. I'll put it in my car. I'll put it into my work. So all these guys were the conduit to me to go and do the research to go and find the defib. That was the best one for me to have for my fitness group, because I'm like, this can't happen again. But they all wanted them as well. So it was this organic thing. The only thing to say before we go into that was the 100 core group that I had in my fitness class were 39 to 72-year-old males that trained most days of the week with fitness, didn't drink much, didn't do drugs, and none of them smoked. And I said to all of them, listen, you've got 12 weeks to go and go to a doctor, get a referral to go and see a cardiologist and get your heart checked.
After this event, obviously.
Or you're not in my group because I don't want to do this again. Let's limit the chance. So they all went and did it. 100 fit blokes. 5 had stents put in straight away. 5 had stents. And they're all, so you don't realise from blockages in their arteries. You don't realise. But to go back to, so that's my group, fitness group of clients, and 5 had to go under the knife and get their arteries sorted. Another 15 had to go on medication. So there was 20% either had surgery or go on medication out of 100. So that just starts telling you, the PTs out there, just what you're dealing with this. What you don't know on the inside, you don't know unless you get checked up. So the first thing to do with your clients, if they're over the age of 40, say to them, listen, just go and get a referral and go see a cardiologist because, you know, it's just you're better off doing that than having something go wrong. That's the first thing. Second thing is in the fitness industry, of all the categories where things can go wrong, gyms and also outdoor training are in the top 4 most likely places someone drops dead from a heart-related incident. Car parks, stadiums, home and fitness centres and outdoor training type setups like mine. I've had 3 heart attacks in my training group. I've saved 2, lost 1 in the last 6 years. Yeah. So that's that. The other thing is that I get a phone call once a month from a gym or a venue that says to me, hey, listen, mate, we've had an incident. Can we get a defib? That happens once a month.
And after the fact.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to say, I'm going to just go over here because my computer's about to go and I'm just going to go plug it in while I keep talking to you. So the issue is this, is that, mate, I get firsthand what happens in this category of people that die and then they want a defib. So, like, my whole thing is, don't get to a stage where, mate, you're having to make a call about a defib like I had to do, go and get one because, you know, you don't realise that you should have one and someone drops. And the problem is, right, that we've had a few cases where, mate, the defibs have actually got someone back. So a PT had one of our defibs. They've got the person back. But what happens is there's a mental cost for all the other people that are around, even though the person comes back. It's like it's more than just you as a business owner, the patient on the ground. The patient on the ground doesn't know. They can't remember what happens. They don't remember to the day before. So for them, it's like the least heavy experience. It's worse for the person trying to save them and all the bystanders that feel like they're helpless and have to watch the whole thing. So out of our group of 25 guys, I was the least affected out of them because I was actually doing something to try to bring him back. Mm. A lot of them had to go and seek mental health and go and see psychologists after it because they felt hopeless and they weren't involved in trying to bring him back to life. So it's interesting. Yeah.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
So you're getting these calls predominantly after the fact. Now,
not always. Like, let's be fair. People do, like, 5 years ago, there was no knowledge on it. I've tried to be so busy on spreading the word. And so we get calls from PTs and gyms saying, listen, get us one. We don't want to have something go wrong. Or we've had a heart problem. The person was taken out on an ambulance. They were fine. But we're worried.
Yeah. You got your first one, you know, however long after your incident, right? I assume as soon as possible. How hard was it to find that first deep fib for your business afterwards? Was it something that was easy for you to source, or?
I didn't know which one to get. So it's difficult when you don't know the category and you're trying to learn. And you know, and we're very proud that the defibs that we supply are complete voice command. Mate, the one that we present to the market the most, when you put the pads on the patient, it coaches you and tells you if you're doing CPR correctly. So it'll say, no, push deeper, push quicker. So you sort of can't get it wrong. So look, that was a process to get to that. And then the other thing is we've built online training that, and I know that PTs do Cert 3 and Cert 4 and first aid and all the rest of it, but we built training specifically around the defibs that we send out so that you feel very au fait with it. Because yeah. What happens when someone drops is you go into shock, right? And you can't. So, Trav, you don't know and I don't know and the people listening don't know how they're going to respond to that until that actually occurs, right? And normally when it occurs, it's the first time it's ever happened and it's not a blasé situation. Like for an AMBO officer or something, they'd get used to that over time. But for the normal person, not so much. So what we try to do, because we get people say, oh, yeah, I've done my first aid course, you know, they showed us a training device. It's not that simple. When someone's on the ground and you know them like I did and they look dead, you know they're dead, and you're the chance of getting them back, yeah, you go into shock and you're stressed. So that's how to deal with all that and put your best performance in.
Yeah. So I mean, you've gone off, sourced the defibs that are, you know, easiest to use for the layperson, so to speak. And look, even as trainers, we've had that extra bit of qualification. You know, most people out there haven't done CPR, haven't done first aid courses over and over again. But in saying that, as a trainer, you do it once, you do your first aid once every 3 years, your CPR once a year. CPR takes what, 2 hours?
Yeah.
2 hours out of how many hours in a year? It's not
habits. You don't build habits in 2 hours, do you?
Yeah. So you've got off, you've got this defib, you've sourced a quality defib that's for people to use.
Yeah.
What has changed? So when did you buy the first one? How long after? Like, it was 2016, was it?
Yeah, same. Like within a month. Like so, I was just hell bent on just making sure that lightning didn't strike twice, and I wasn't under prepared. So yeah, so all our group went and did. I got a CPR expert in, DFib expert, went through all the training, and that began the journey. And like the thing is that you second guess yourself under pressure. Like, it's like when you go and compete in a race, in an event, and like plenty of people listening here are into sport and you compete. When it's a big event and you've trained hard for it and it matters and you care, you second guess what's going to happen in the race and you get nervous and you get nervous because you care. Well, that same sort of stress that comes out in an event, mate, times that by 100, and that's what happens when you've got to do CPR on someone on the ground and try to bring him back to life. So yeah.
Mm. So as we fast forward 5 years from then, right, what's changed? Like, I'm assuming, I mean, maybe the prices remain the same, but I'm assuming they're becoming maybe slightly more economical, or what is as much change in the 5 years from the first one you bought to what you've got now, or is it?
Massive. So the ones we first had that have been upgraded and we don't sell those anymore. So it's new models, better models. The battery and the pads are now 4 year over an 8 year warranty for the unit, as opposed to a 2 year battery and pad lifespan. They weren't complete voice command back then. Now they are. Now they've got intelligence in the pads to give you CPR coaching that wasn't there before. Pricing's come down by 30% from where they were 5 years ago. So yeah, there's been a fair change, Trav, in the whole thing.
Yeah. So I mean, part of the reason, like I mentioned, we wanted to get you in here is because we want to be a part of this as well. Like, we've got a lot of people in our fitness community. You have obviously got a huge reach yourself, right? But we've got this opportunity where we've got a lot of trainers who are listening to this, and that ripple effect. If that trainer has 20 clients and we've got how many thousand trainers who might be listening to this now, you know, times 20 for all of their clients. And that's a huge ripple effect for something like this. And, yeah, you know, I've heard one or two stories from our audience for these events, unfortunately, happening to them.
Mm.
What we want to sort of talk about is the DFibs themselves, where we're looking at sort of a price point, which is way less than I think people would probably anticipate for what they are. You're looking at around that $1,800 price point for one of these units. We're going to get all those links and all that sort of information in the show notes as well. But you've got the longer warranty, you've got the course there for the DFib, but I suppose it's all sort of pales in comparison of the what if, you know, like the, you've got it, you know, like it's... Well,
the thing is, what we try to do as a business, my business Heart 180 packages up to the correct category with the right accessories and the like. So in our category, you know, like, you know, trainers that are out there and having to, you know, go to different venues for clients, you know, you get a hard case that you put the DFib in. It comes with a carry case around the DFib. You've got a unit that can handle 52 degree Celsius heat, so you can leave it in the car in the middle of summer. They're all things we think about. We give you a CPR rescue kit that's got the mouthpiece and all the other bits that go with it that fit into it. We even give you a sticker that you put on your car or the location you're at if you're a venue that is like a DFib located here sticker. So we've done all the extras because you could save a life with someone knowing there's a DFib in your car when someone drops in the car park, as an example. So, yeah, so we package everything up to make the most sense. And the online training, as you said, is specific to the device because, look, you may never have to use it, but we've had one unit in the last 5 years that's got used three times, the same unit. Yeah. So, you just don't know, do you? You don't know. It's life insurance you're buying, basically.
Yeah. What I'd like to sort of finish off on, I suppose, is that we know the numbers, we know the stats. It's obviously, like you said, that power of someone in your group, someone in your class, and having the opportunity to save their life by having a device like this there for you, I think it really should be a no-brainer for trainers. And what I want to ask is, where's the space in your mind on, you know, I suppose legality or on what's the correct term for it? The regulations around the DFibs, like where they're going to be situated, you know, because I don't think gyms need to have them, do they?
Yeah, obviously. So it's a really good question. And it's in our frequently asked question list that we get, you know, every week. So first of all, the government will make the mandatory in schools, gyms, and large buildings in the not too distant future. So that will happen. It hasn't happened yet. The big brands in the fitness game that I supply won't open up a new gym venue unless there's a DFib on the wall.
Yeah.
So that's part of their best practice that they have within their business. But they're not, they don't have to do that. But the big chains that have multiple doorways, unfortunately, have experienced what I've experienced. And they're like, nah, we're not gonna put up with this. So they go and bring their own rules in. As far as the legalities on using a device, so in each state the wording's slightly different, but it's what we call the Good Samaritan Act. And so if someone is unconscious and can't deem themselves needing help, then any help that you give in positive light to make their health better is considered something that you should do. Right. And that goes down to having no first aid experience, not knowing what exactly you should do, but you wanting to help another human being that's unconscious, that can't help themselves. There's been no case in Australia in the history of the courts that have gone against someone going to someone else's aid. Mm. Now, that's different if you broke your arm, Trav, right now, and I ran up to you and said, I'm going to lift your arm up and put it over your head. And you're like, don't touch me. You're an idiot. And I go and do that. Well, then I would be liable, you know, because you've taught me not to. But when someone's unconscious, different. So, you know, we get that asked a lot. You got to remember these defibs. Like we had a life save 3 weeks ago down in Bowral, and these two workers on a job site got the defib out of the truck that we sent to them a few months earlier. Their work colleague dropped dead at 9:30 in the morning. He was dead for 4 minutes, the cardiologist told us. And, mate, they turned the defib on, didn't know what they were doing. They did the online course that we gave them, which gave them enough. They listened to what the defib said, and they got the guy back to life again. So, you know, all this stuff is it's all happening right now. We get a life saved every 7 weeks that we find out about. Someone rings up and says, we need new battery and pads for the defib because we used it on someone and they're alive now. So, look, it's a pretty cool thing. And I'll say this to the audience listening, is that imagine being in a situation where someone drops and they're unconscious and not breathing. You go and get the defib out of your car, or it's next to you if you're training a group that keeps coming back to the same spot. You get the defib on them and you bring them back to life. Now, we're in the game of wellness and improving someone's health and wellness as part of what we do as our job description. Imagine saving their life and giving them a second chance of living. A guy from a gym in Noosa 3 years ago, and it's on, we've got footage of it because it was on the monitor. He brought back a 19-year-old girl, Emily, that was on a rowing machine. She was as fit as fit. You see her in the monitor start shaking and fall off the rowing machine, and she dies. And he gets our defib out and brings her back to life. So, you know, listening to this, imagine if in your life you actually do something to save another person's life. I don't think there's anything better than that.
Yeah, and I think the big takeaways here I'm hearing are, like, obviously, if you're working with over 40s, do you know statistically male over 40, or is it genders irrelevant? Or
look, everyone dies from this, unfortunately, but you'll get more that are stacked up male over 40 based on see, electrical issues of the heart still occur through blockages of the heart. So it can be a plumbing issue of your heart, then that kicks into the electrical. So if that happens, only a defib can save their life. And you don't know if someone's unconscious, not breathing, you don't know whether it's plumbing and electrical or just electrical, but the defib does.
So I think
a cardiologist doesn't know. No one knows. A doctor doesn't know. Only the defib knows.
Yeah. So I think the message out of today is if you are a facility, you 100% should have one. If you're a trainer who's more than a part-time trainer, you need to have one. You know, like it's, I think it's like you mentioned, I think it's going to become like a requirement.
I know they will. South Australia is about to pass a bill to do just that. Other states will follow. You know, fire extinguishers in buildings are mandatory. And, you know, sure, they're not the same cost as a defib at the moment, but we lose in a year from a fire-related incident in Australia 100 people. In a year, we lose 100 people today from a heart-related electrical issue that a defib could save their life, and they're not mandatory yet. So you tell me that if a fire extinguisher is mandatory, and the government, we start taking our head away from COVID eventually, and we start thinking about other shit, then they're not going to eventually go, you know what? I think it's about time we start putting these things into places where people are dying.
Did you say 100 people a day?
100 people a day.
So it's like 36,000+ people.
Yeah. So today if we, so my mission is to get a defib within 180 seconds of any Aussie that drops in this country. And if we could do that, which is obviously a massive lofty goal, but if we could do that today, 70 of those 100 people that die will be around tomorrow. and so on and so on, and do the maths on that. So, you know, we talk about COVID. COVID is an issue, and it spreads. I get that, and other countries are in far worse trouble than us. We're going good with it, but mate, we lose 100 people today, and some parent is going to put their kid in a grave this week under the age of 10.
Yeah, I mean,
kids or deal with kids, mate. Yeah, you just want to get a defib just so you know that can't happen to your kid.
Yeah, I mean, I know one of the kids I used to teach. I was a primary school teacher, and I heard he was in high school. He'd gone on to high school. I don't know what the cause or situation around it was, so I don't know if it had anything to his heart. I don't know, but I know he would have only been in year seven, and he dropped. And I mean, he was a big kid, so very well could have been a heart thing. I don't know. And
normally you're born with some sort of irregularity with your heart. It's not picked up, and as your life cycle goes on, it can become an issue at some stage, and that's where people drop. And you know, you get these fit people you hear about that you go, how the hell did that person die? They're so fit. It's because they were born with something that was wrong with their heart, and it just popped up at that time.
Yeah.
I knew about it. So it's the same with kids as well, unfortunately.
So. Yeah. So 180 seconds, defib everywhere. That's the goal. That's the mission.
Yeah, it's a mission. Like, you know, the thing is, you know, my journey in the fitness side of things was awesome, but I loved it. And, you know, I created a great business, and it was great fun. But, you know, these pivotal moments in your life that I spoke about, the day Chucky died on the beach at, you know, on the grass there at Manly Harbour, was the day that I pivoted completely towards this and lost interest in everything else I did with the fitness side. I still take my classes some mornings, not every morning. I shut down all the branding stuff to do with the fitness side. It was making me millions. Well, it was making me seven figures a year in profit. So I didn't care, because for me, this is the most important thing that I do. And I feel like, you know, out of all the things, and you touched on it earlier, of all the things I've done in my life, one start, being a world champion, you know, all that stuff, you know, I think my calling of what I'm doing now is why I was put where I am right now, and there was a reason for it, and I feel like I'm the right person to go and deliver a result on this. So I get up every day with the same passion that I had to get to lane six in the pool. I wake up every day with the same passion that I had to be the best Ironman in the world and to repel anyone that wanted to try to beat me. But I think that the passion I have now, which was equal to that, means that we're going to save lives and save a lot more, and that's a lot more meaningful than what I used to do.
Yeah. Love it, mate. I mean, like I said, we're going to get the links in the show notes. We're going to help supply these things as well. So we're going to help, you know, hook up trainers for you and get this out there and as best as we can. If people want to reach out to your company specifically or see what you guys are specifically doing, I know you mentioned the website and the name earlier, but do you want to give it another quick plug?
Look, you know, I'm rapt that you guys have jumped on to help get this out there. And the more defibs out there, the more lives we save. It's as simple as that. My website is heart, H-E-A-R-T, the word heart, and then the number 180.com.au. All the information's there. But dovetail back to the site that you put up, because you'll get the discount. You know, you'll get looked after from us. And, you know, and I encourage, you know, anyone that gets one, get a photo with it, put it up on social media, send it back to Trav. We'll promote your business out there across our socials. And, yeah, let's just keep it in the family.
Love it, mate. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's an inspiring message all along the board, you know, from your journey as an athlete through to your transition to post, keeping your, you know, your name and your brand and everything going post your athletic career, and then into this now, which, you know, like you mentioned, is probably going to be the biggest and most important thing you'll ever do. And if you, you know, like with your drive and everything, like getting one of these things within 180 seconds of every Aussie, you know, there's a good chance you're going to get to that lane as well, mate. So thanks for your time. Anything you want to leave the audience with at all, or you?
No, I think that the thing that, you know, looking back for me, you know, and I'm, you know, sort of middle-aged now, and my journey, and we've all got our journey of what we do in our life, that I learned even as a kid at school that, you know, I was always more invested in the thing I love to do the most, as opposed to the thing that everyone else told me I should do in my life, and, you know, school career people and all the rest of it. And, you know, and I don't think that I'm anything special. I just think that I've put my energy into the stuff that I love the most in my life. And because of it, I've had a good outcome. And I think that the takeaway for everyone is that, mate, you will be the best you can be at something if you do something that you love the most. And, you know, and the, I suppose the constant that I got in my sport in Korea was that the Trevor Handys and the Mercer brothers, the Grant Kennys, and all these names that you may or may not remember from my time doing the sport that I did, right? We all loved what we did to death, you know? And because of it, we were the best we could be at it. So, you know, you've got to find the thing that you love and just do it and go hard with it, because if you do that, you'll keep moving forward. Yeah. And you'll be happy. And you'll be happy. So
that's it. Happy and keep moving forward. Thank you again, mate. It's an absolute pleasure. For those of you after DFibs and all that sort of stuff, it's all going to be in the show notes. And I really recommend you guys, and it'll be in the links below and all that sort of stuff. I recommend you guys have a look into it, because it's something that, you know, like all of these things, you don't want to ever have to use it. But, you know, for the one time you might need to use it in your career, it's worth it 100%, 10 times over.
If you have it, use it and bring a life back, like the boys did three weeks ago at Barrel. It'll be the greatest moment of your life.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Guy, for the morning into the afternoon. Real pleasure. And we'll chat to you soon.
Done. See you, Trav. Bye, mate.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this show, share it with your friends, subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review. For show notes and free training on how to grow your fitness business, visit www.fitnesseducationonline.com.au.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort, so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes, all created by nutrition professionals, from breakfast to dinner and everything in between. We've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your client's needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, while you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.